to you, God, whose power working in us is always doing more than we could ask or even imagine. Amen. Amen. In the weekly issue of the Palos Verdes News for August 25th, there was an article in the religion section entitled, "No Easy Words, on the 10th anniversary of 9/11, preachers will be looking for right tone." In the Los Angeles Times, I read an article in Medicine and Mind with the headline, "Resilient Spirit. We confronted the tragedy and then moved on. It's human nature." In these past few weeks, I read a few more articles and watched a couple of programs on TV dealing with the repercussions of 9/11 and remembering survivors and heroes. And I remember clearly where I was and what I felt that September morning 10 years ago today. I felt numb and prayed simple words, which I repeated over and over and over. "God, have mercy on us." I don't know why I prayed those words. I didn't know what else to say to God. 10 years later, right now, we share a tone of remembrance. So as I was praying on this sermon, praying with the Gospels, praying about thoughts and feelings around 9/11, a particular kind of question developed in my heart. How do we forgive the cause of pain? Which led me to Peter's question in the Gospel. How often should I forgive? So I feel forgiveness needs to be a part of this sermon. Peter goes on to say to Jesus, "As many as 7 times? 7 is a holy number for the Jewish people, symbolizing perfection, fullness, abundance, rest, and completion. It has a tone of infinity. But Jesus' answer to Peter, 77 times, demolishes Peter's careful answer about forgiveness, which Peter thought was generous. It seems Jesus was not into keeping records, recording how many times we have been hurt or how many times we have forgiven. Instead, Jesus in this gospel points to grace and freedom through forgiveness. That is the message I hear for today. Grace, freedom, and the power of forgiveness. So this past week, I was really taken aback when in the midst of a documentary I was watching on 9/11, there was a commercial promo for a new TV series coming up on NBC, whose premise is the opposite of today's gospel. The new series that will be airing in a few weeks is entitled Revenge. It was described by a voiceover with these words: "She had a motive. Her father died an innocent man, betrayed by the woman he loved." The promo continues with, "She had a plan. When deception cuts this deep, someone has to pay. This is not a story of forgiveness." As you can hear, the show's construct is the antithesis of today's gospel, the very opposite of transformation in grace and freedom that only God can empower. But when tragedy strikes, or terrible harm is inflicted, or an unthinkable event causes one's life to change. Helplessness can lead to feelings of anger, depression, terrible frustration, and literally eat us away, eat away inside of us. So our minds grope for some kind of relief. But therapists and ministers agree that if we hold on to revenge or a grudge or justify why we should not forgive, we are the ones harmed more than anyone else. It actually takes more energy to hold on than to let go. Forgiveness is actually a freeing energy. Archbishop Desmond Tutu, who chaired the Truth and Reconciliation Commission in South Africa after apartheid had come to an end in that nation, says this about forgiveness. Forgiveness gives us the capacity to make a new start. That is the power, the rationale of confession and forgiveness. And forgiveness is the grace by which you enable the other person to get up and get up with dignity to begin anew. Not to forgive leads to bitterness and hatred, which, just like self-hatred and self-contempt, gnaw away the vitals of one's being. Whether hatred is projected out or projected in, it is always corrosive of the human spirit. We are living in God's realm when we experience grace or freedom. And I witnessed this the other night, last Saturday, on the news. I had my little kitchen TV on as I was making dinner, listening but not watching as I was chopping onions. I perked up my ears as I heard the death of a young man and the response of his grieving mother. So I went over to the TV to see a reporter hold a microphone up to her. And she simply said, "May God forgive them." That is all I have to say. May God forgive them. And she walked away. I believe it was her faith in God and living that faith year after year, day after day, that led this grief-stricken mother to a place of grace in her darkest hour. It was not out of context that she was able to forgive, but in the context of her faith. Humanly speaking, it is difficult and almost impossible to forgive quickly. But this woman trusted in God in that moment and was able to say, "God, forgive them. This is all I have to say. God, forgive them." Who do you ask God to forgive? But forgiving does not mean forgetting. Grief will have a life of its own in that mom. And one of the wives who lost a husband on 9/11 was told by a friend that grief is like experiencing a brick in your pocket for the rest of your life. You get used to the weight of the brick, but every once in a while you feel a sharp edge. Lisa Beamer is one of the widows from 9/11 who will have a brick of grief in her pocket the rest of her life, because her husband Todd Beamer was a passenger aboard United Airlines Flight 93. That plane crashed into a Pennsylvania field because of the heroic efforts of its passengers. Now, after Flight 93 was hijacked, Todd Beamer and other passengers tried to communicate with people on the ground via in plane and cell phones. And they learned that the World Trade Center had been attacked using hijacked airplanes. So Beamer tried to place a credit card call through a phone located on the back of a seat in front of him. But that call was routed to a customer service representative instead, who passed it on to a GTE supervisor, Lisa Jefferson. As Todd was on the phone with the operator, he told her that some of the plane's passengers were planning to jump on the hijackers. The operator could also hear Todd talk to his fellow passengers as they prepared. Then Todd asked Lisa Jefferson to pray with him the Lord's Prayer, and she did. Then she said Todd continued to pray out loud, asking Jesus to help him and to forgive the hijackers. And then the last audible words of Todd were, "Are you guys ready? Let's roll." In the last 15 minutes of his life, Todd sought the grace of God. Then he laid down his life for us. Before he turned to storm that cockpit, Todd asked for strength and asked God to forgive, just like Jesus had done on the cross when Jesus said to God, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Who do you ask God to forgive? Before he died, Todd Beamer asked God to forgive the men who were ready to kill him, his fellow passengers, and countless others. Forgiveness, therefore, needs to be a part of this day of remembrance. Who, what, and how should you forgive? It is an unfolding answer, I believe. Remember, it takes more energy to hold on than to let go. But as Bishop Tutu preached, in forgiving, people are not being asked to forget. On the contrary, it is important to remember so that we should not let such atrocities happen again. Forgiveness does not mean condoning what has been done. It means taking what happened seriously and not minimizing it, drawing out the sting in the memory that threatens to poison our entire existence. We all lost naive innocence on 9/11 as the reach of terrorism hit us very hard. Our very values have been challenged. Are we as Christ-centered, Christ-like, and Spirit-led as we are called to be? Remember, Jesus said in this gospel, "So my heavenly Father will also do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother or sister from your heart." Jesus is not threatening our peace. It is our violent action or our lack of forgiveness that can produce a lack of peace, depression, and even revenge. We are called to be instruments of peace. We are called to be instruments of reconciliation. We are called to be Christ-centered, Christ-like, and Spirit-led in this world that often seeks revenge. We are called to grace and freedom. When our stories are written, what will be said of each of us? May it read, "We confronted tragedy and we moved forward through forgiveness. Amen.